the Rise Up See Red podcast, all about the Arizona Cardinals and the NFL, featuring insider and outsider perspectives. Enjoy the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Now here are your hosts, Jess Root and Seth Cox.
Hello, Arizona Cardinals fans, and welcome to the latest edition of the Rise Up See Red podcast. I'm your host, Jess Root from CardsWire.com, the USA Today NFL Wire site, with my host, Seth Cox from AvengeTheBirds.com, which is SB Nation's Arizona Cardinals site. He is also one of the hosts of the original Draft Breakdown podcast, and we're here for episode 470. It is the first of our two preview shows that we do each week for the upcoming game. Seth and I will give our takes on this, and I have coming up in our next show lined up former Bengals defensive back Solomon Wilcots. He's part of the Believe podcast network. He's an ex-Sirius XM host and an Emmy-winning broadcaster. So he and I will discuss the Bengals on our show that will drop on Saturday. This show obviously dropping on a Friday. This is our preview show for the Bengals. Seth and I are going to talk about basically what the Bengals offer, what they've done so far this season. We're going to look into matchups and keys for the Cardinals to potentially win this game. And then, as we have the last couple of weeks, we've got, you know, our predictions and our prop bets that we've got, which last week, and we talked about this on the show on Tuesday night, dadgummit, the Cardinals, they had the cover. They had Prater over 4.5 points. If that Zach Ertz had just caught that stupid touchdown pass, but that's for later in the show. We've already expressed our frustration. Seth, how's everything going for you as we get ready for coverage of the Bengals and the Cardinals this week in their brand new black unis? That's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to watch. And, you know, it's going to be funny because this is a game that everybody, including this podcast, had penciled in as, I shouldn't even say penciled in. I mean, this was looked at as a loss. Like, this was going to be a loss this year. And it's okay. I mean, neither you or I were upset about that. We looked at this and go, this is a really good team.
It is.
A very talented team with a lot. And all of a sudden, they're just...
The Bengals are not good. Through four games, they are a bad team right now. Especially on the road right now. That's kind of what...
Well, and more than even on the road, they're terrible on offense.
Yes.
Which is, I mean...
They're averaging 12.3 points per game, and you take away their punt return for their return for a touchdown, guess what? They're averaging 10 points a game. That's bad. That's really bad.
They have two games where they've only scored 3 points, and that's
both just... the road games.
Yeah, just not something we expected from this group. This is a uniquely talented, special group of players that have really just, I mean, they've brought the Bengals back from being the Bungles, right? Like, all of a sudden, they're a talented team with a lot of, you know, with a lot of ability to go make plays all over the field, and you know, and then all of a sudden now it's like they're just a bad football team, and that's not something we expected. And so at the same time, we look at it and go, well, they still have everybody, they're definitely gonna get right this week, right? Like, this is the week that they get
That is definitely what some people think, especially like the Cardinals' defensive metrics. Like, if you look at the yardage and the passer type stuff, there it doesn't look great. If there's a week for the Bengals, but basically the belief is that the offense will get better. It might take a while because right now Joe Burrow is under a lot of duress. He's not able to complete passes because he's under pressure a lot. He's not pushing the ball down the field at all. Basically, the one thing they have going for them right now is Joe Mixon. And that, I guess, based on what we saw in the last 2 weeks for the Cardinals, that is something to worry about. He's got... He's averaging 4.2 yards per game. He's only got one touchdown so far, but he's also improved in his blocking. He's basically playing well in all three phases of the offense in his role, but everything else is kind of a mess. And this is a team that on both sides of the ball, there is a ton of talent. The skill players that they have, that they should be humming offensively. Their receiving trio of Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, and Tyler Boyd is as good as you will see for a top three receiving core in the NFL. Joe Mixon is a very good running back. Joe Burrow is a star at quarterback. On the defensive side of the ball, they've got some good up front guys. They've got Trey Hubbard. They've got DJ Reader, BJ Hill. You've got a great linebacker in Logan Wilson as well. And it's just not coming together right now. They've been bad on both sides of the ball. Here are some, and we're going to kind of look at what they've done is they held the Rams to 71 rushing yards, but they've allowed 170 rushing yards in each of the other two games. They have now granted defensively, they've taken the ball away three times in the last 2 weeks. Two of them were against the Rams in their win. Offensively, they've scored 6 points in two road games. They have three games where they haven't reached 300 yards of offense. And the one game that they won, they only got to 309. They've given at least 400 yards twice and at least 350 yards three times this season. Basically, they're not doing anything on either side of the ball particularly well. It's very odd because you have very talented guys. They have good pass rushers. They have some good cover guys in Cam Taylor-Britton, Chidobe Awuzie. Their linebackers are solid too, but they haven't put it together on either side of the ball.
Well, and it's surprising because it's not like there was a ton of changeover. Now, as always, Revenge of the Birds talked with the SB Nation sister site, Cincy Jungle, and you know they were kind of like, the problem lies in the fact that they have a bunch of guys that are basically new to the defense in terms of like Dax Hill, who was a second year player who's taking over for Jesse Bates, who was an all pro, I believe, right?
If not, he was really good.
As close to an all pro as you can get. So they're filling those wares, but more than anything, what he said, and you kind of hit it, is their defense is having to compensate for how bad their offense is playing and then not able to keep up. So, you know, it's just been really, really tough for them to maintain. And they just, because the offense is just like literally not doing nothing or not doing anything productive on the season. And, you know, one of the big questions and something that you and I, it's really easy for you and I because we're not fans. We don't care. Like, you know, we don't dislike the Bengals, but we don't have a dog in the fight outside of this game, right? And the question is, why don't they just bench Joe Burrow and put him on the IR and let him get healthy? And I asked the SB Nation guy that, and he said that's kind of the question. Is like, is all of this the struggles, you know, the bad start to the season, all of that, is all of that really worth what's happening with Burrow? And, you know, shouldn't they be looking at this as, hey, even if, and we're not saying it is, but even if 2023 is a loss, a net loss, aren't we invested in this guy for the next 6 years that it doesn't matter. Like, we don't need to panic, hit the panic button and reset. More likely, we need to put him in a position to be successful and make sure that he continues to have the opportunity to get healthy and get well going forward. And instead, they're acquiescing to quarterback.
And it's interesting here because we know that the calf is bothering him, but guess who's not showing up on the injury report at all? So that's the part that has me puzzled. Joe Burrow himself has talked about how the calf injury is the calf is like at the top of his mind, which affects the how he plays. So he hasn't tried to be mobile at all kind of this year. He's just getting the ball out real quickly. If he's pressured, he's not having much time, but it's not affecting his practice reps, and he's not even listed on the injury report as a full participant, which for me, if you're not on the injury report, the injury really should be, it should be a non-issue because it's not enough to even mention. We've heard about it, and I didn't look at the previous week's injury report, if like last week he was on it at all, but to not even be on there but still talking about it is really kind of interesting.
So basically, and I'm interested to hear what you've heard. I know that you didn't get the Bengals wire guy on, but the Cincy Jungle guy basically said, and I'll read it so I don't screw it up because I don't want to talk out of school. Obviously these guys are in the same realm as us in terms of, you know, being dialed in. And so, you know, my question was simply, we don't need to say much about what's going on with Joe Burrow. It's clear he's dealing with an injury. So should the franchise not step in and put him on IR till fully healthy? And he said, it appears that Burrow has lobbied to play with reluctant approval of both the team's brain trust and medical staff. So the other thing is that the medical staff has said that it is not overtly at risk of an Achilles injury, and that's why he's playing.
That's actually the first that I've heard some of the say that, because with what we saw with Aaron Rodgers after having the calf strain in the preseason, to go out and then a couple plays in to then tear his Achilles. We saw it happen in the NBA with Kevin Durant coming back from the calf injury in the playoffs a couple of years ago. But that's the thing that you wonder. But apparently it is, like, medically, he must be in a good place. It's now, I wonder how much of it is now in his head. Deal with injuries that don't show up on the injury report, that they're sore, that they're banged up, but it doesn't affect. But for me, to have it not be on the injury report suggests that he's fine. And if he's fine, then
why is he playing
so badly? And maybe it's just because the offensive line is underperforming. They've struggled at the offensive line, but they've got to, they got Orlando Brown. They moved Jonah Williams. Now he's not, that's one of the matchups to watch, honestly, this week is Jonah Williams at right tackle against the Cardinals, you know, secondary rushers, or, you know, top rushers. If you talk about Dennis Gardeck and Victor Dimakaji, but yeah, it's just very interesting to see how things have stagnated for them. In a way, doesn't this feel like, in a way, the 2022 Cardinals they've had more success. So they've been to AFC. They went to a Super Bowl. They went to an AFC Championship game. But doesn't it feel the way that they're starting feels kind of 2022-ish for like what happened with the Cardinals?
Yeah, and you know, a lot of it comes down to that, right? Like, a lot of it just comes down to that they're in a position where you know, I genuinely don't understand what they're trying to accomplish, because I get that you're saying like, oh, he says he's fine, we've got to, you know, continue to play. But, you know, I've told you off the record, and, you know, we'll never get a true statement of it, but I've heard on the record that the Cardinals were worried about Kyler's hamstring still, and they still let him play. And I'm like, at some point, teams have to look at the long-term outlook. Like, I know that we want to look at everything through the hourglass of this season, this year, but at some point we have to go like, hey, this is the guy for ever, right? Or, you know, not ever, but you know what I'm saying? Like long-term, like we're trying to get this guy into Canton. And I know they don't do jerseys, but in a Cardinals uniform or in a Bengals uniform. So we need to make sure that that's what our thought process is. And that's where our entire staff and model is looking at. And so if it cost us a year because this guy's injured, the big picture is he's not injured for, you know, ever. He's injured for this season. We can overcome that and be ready to go, you know, in following seasons. And it just feels like these teams look at it so often as it's just time. Like we gotta sacrifice that for the here and now. And how do we do that? And it's just like, this is not for them. It's not working. And like I said, I am fully expecting him to come out and just blow out the Cardinals on on Sunday. Like as somebody that's been a fan of the Cardinals, you know, since the 90s, you know, when I can remember everything, like that is what my expectation is. Now, I hope I'm wrong, clearly, but you just look at what has happened, and that's kind of how the history of the Cardinals goes, right? Like they're playing a bad team, and we don't have to look too far back. Just look at the Giants a couple weeks ago, right? Like the Giants came out, they were playing awful. The Cardinals are beating them mercilessly, and all
the
of a sudden,
second half, they just turn it on, and they were up for 31 points in the second half, and those are the only two quarters of good football that the Giants have played this season.
And so you look at it and you go, okay, how do we fix that? And you know, it's just in my belief, unfortunately, that that's, you know, and I'm still going to, you know, spoiler alert, I'm still going to pick the Cardinals to win this game, but my expectation is that it's not going to happen because I've been a Cardinals fan for so long. And
we're always waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Right.
Always. Always. Some of the numbers, pulled up some statistics, is that through four games, Cincinnati has 58 first downs. Okay. That's about 14 and a half per game. They have converted on 33% of their third downs. They have 944 total yards in four games. They average 4.8 yards per passing attempt. They have three offensive touchdowns this season. Now, they do have a +2 in the turnover department. And then you kind of look at some of the defensive statistics. And so they've got, pull those up. You got Trey Hendrickson with 3.5 sacks. He's doing well. BJ Hill with, you know, they've got 12 sacks as a team. They've only given up 8 sacks in 4 games, but that's misleading. That's simply Burrow getting rid of the ball, because he has been under a lot of pressure, and teams haven't necessarily had to blitz. They do a lot of run, from what I've heard. I don't watch a lot of but they. You run blitz and just run blitz at the quarterback if it's a pass play, but other than that, this is a team that should. I mean, we were talking about the Bengals defensive coordinator's our head coach here in Lou Anarumo. That defense hasn't been bad, but it hasn't been good, and the offense The offense has just been abysmal. And there's no other way to really explain it is that they are stuck in something. They're stuck with something. They just can't get their – they can't get out of their way. And you look at – let's look at their schedule coming up. They've got the NFC East, the West, for the next three games. So if they can't beat the Cardinals, see what Seattle did to the Giants this last week and see what – and then they've got their bye week, and then they got the 49ers coming out of the bye week. Then they've got the Buffalo Bills. This Bengals team has to turn it around in a hurry. And Joe Burrow said it. It's like, it's a must-win game this week. They got to win it. They need to win for their morale, which really puts the Cardinals in a fun position to be morale busters.
Well, and you have to wonder, too, if they have to win because if they don't – if the team steps in and they say, hey, we're going to put you on the IR. And then now, so explain to me, cause I guess it'll be interesting the way the IR works. If he goes on the IR, does the bye week count or is it only
It's four games now. It used to be weeks. The last year, when they went to the short term one, I think in 2020. So they made it that you had to miss three games, and the designation of the last couple of years has been four games. So the bye week doesn't count. So if they put him on, so at least, not necessarily put him on IR, but if
keep
things get out,
Seahawks
you keep him out against the Seahawks, or if things go badly enough against the Cardinals that they sit him in the second half, sit him against Seattle, give him the bye week. But again, you look at like, but there's nothing on the injury report, so how bad can it be? That's the thing that has to be absolutely puzzled.
You can see that he can't move. I mean, that's just the reality. He cannot function within the pocket, and that's what makes him so uniquely talented, right? Like, you know, and it's ironic because everybody is on Kyler with like, oh, you know, he's not going to play until he's ready, but this is the alternative. Right? Like you get your franchise quarterback playing and he just can't compete. And then all of a sudden you're looking at a situation where you just paid, and I know the Chiefs beat it, but you just paid the richest contract in NFL history to a guy that can't compete. And so it's like, It just makes it tough overall, and it'll be interesting to see where this goes, because this is a situation that I genuinely don't like what the situation they're putting themselves and their star in, because it just feels like it's something that could have been avoided, and instead it's a situation that's lingering that really shouldn't be.
Coming up next on the Rise Up Seared podcast, Best Serve Cardinals Talk on the web. Let's talk about the matchups we're looking forward to seeing, the matchups that are going to matter, and keys to the Cardinals win or competing for a win. That's coming up next on Rise Up Seared. We're back on the Rise Up Seared podcast, Best Serve Cardinals Talk on the web, talking about the second segment. This is the keys to a Cardinals win. Keys to victory and matchups that we want to see. I'm interested in a lot of different individual matchups. Well, but if there's one thing I'm looking at, if there is a recipe to beating the Bengals, obviously one is kind of continue to do to Joe Burrow what's been done. But if we look at their two road games, in their three losses, they've given up 206 rushing yards, 178 rushing yards, and 173 rushing yards. They had no answer for Nick Chubb or Derrick Henry. Now, I understand. James Conner is not those two running backs. He is a tier below them. That said, he does cause the same problems because he is a big physical back like Chubb and Henry. And guess what? The Cardinals run the ball well. They even rushed for over 100 yards last week, even without him. And if you combine him with Josh Dobbs and his mobility and then mixing in guys like Rondale Moore and Marquise and Hollywood Brown, what you're looking at is a way to keep the Bengals defense on the field and have them tire out. Like I think the Cardinals present a very tough matchup because they do things that give the Bengals trouble. And as rough a time as the Bengals have had offensively, the Cardinals force opponents to do, I mean, you don't see many like 4 or 5 plays. They're like 9, 8, 9, 10 to 13 play drives. Cincinnati's not going to do that. They haven't been able to sustain that. And so I think if the Cardinals, number one, can simply establish a consistent running game and then limit Joe Mixon. They've given up big numbers to the running backs the last 2 weeks. 179 total yards to Christian McCaffrey. Tony Pollard ran for 122 against them. If they can limit Mixon, I think they're going to be in a really good position. And so you get, you know, the old 1995, you know, stop the run the football. But that's really the style of football the Cardinals have kind of been playing so far this season.
Yeah, that's just who they are as a group, right? That's where they have to go, and that's kind of how they have to play. And it's interesting because they have become a team that really focuses on the running game and doing a good job in the running game. And that's, you know, that's where they're at right now. And we'll see how it kind of evolves, whether it evolves with Dobbs. I mean, they threw the ball well last week and lost, and Dobbs didn't play poorly. So I don't want anybody to think I'm saying that, but the reality was they couldn't compete when they didn't have, you know, when they had to kind of ask Dobbs to win the game. And again, he didn't play poorly at all. Like, I don't want anybody to think I'm saying that, but you know, it was less than optimal in that situation. And so it'll be, you know, interesting to see how this continues to unfold. I think this team has the ability to be more multiple, but I don't know how much of it they can do with Dobbs at quarterback.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. Totally. Defensively, they need to get, they can't do what they did last week, which was one sack and no pass breakups. The Cardinals had 23 pass breakups in the first 3 weeks of the season. That was one of they were making plays on the ball. They have to get their hands on the football. They need to pressure Joe Burrow. And here's the thing. They don't need to they can't just rely on a good red zone defense. That didn't work last week. They need to keep Cincinnati from getting to the red zone. Cincinnati's not been good. They only convert on 33% of their third down. So let's get them in third down and take care of business that way. And they're in a really good position. They're honestly, the Cardinals are in a really good position. This iteration of the Cincinnati Bengals is a good matchup for the Cardinals, I think.
Yeah. And you know, you look at how it goes, obviously the biggest thing is they have to contain and control Joe Burrow. And if Burrow continues to play at the level he has, I mean, we're talking about a guy that has 2 touchdowns and 2 interceptions in 4 games. Like, that's just bad. And both of those touchdowns, I mean, were in week 2. He hasn't thrown a touchdown in 2 games. But the reality is this is easily the worst secondary that he's probably played. It might be the worst from a talent perspective defense, right, that they've played all around, because they don't have a, you know, Aaron Donald level guy. And so it just, you know, it begs the question of what they do and how they do it. And this is a game that the Cardinals desperately need to show that everything that's happened thus far isn't a fluke. Does that?
Yes. It takes that Dallas game and go, okay. Because Dallas, especially the way the Cowboys responded against the Patriots, you're like, oh yeah, fluky, you know, weird NFL game. especially coming out, they were angry about, you know, giving up 31 points. The Giants, they weren't competitive. Like they battled, but they were overmatched by the 49ers. I would agree. A win this weekend over the Bengals really kind of changes the course of the next several games. I'm not saying that. I'm definitely not saying like Seattle and the Rams or that they're. But you look at these games are much more competitive. You know, the Rams are beatable. The Seahawks maybe are beatable with what they have. The Ravens are beatable. The Browns are beatable. And then, you know, the Falcons are beatable. Houston looks really good. So it now becomes where rather than expecting losses over the next several weeks, if you pick up the second win, I think it breathes some air. There's already a belief in that locker room. But pick up win number two without Kyler back, and I think it just feeds that fire. It just builds the confidence in this team and what they believe that they're able to do.
Well, and where they're going, and that's been the biggest thing, is that, like, you know, there's a lot of talk about moral victories and things like that. But at the end of the day, nothing matters more than actual victories. And so if you can sneak out, you know, again, what was it? Was the over-under at the end 3.5 on the season?
I think it dropped to that. Before the season started, it was at 4.5.
Okay, so, I mean, if you sneak out 2 wins before Kyler and, you know, 4 wins with Kyler, and you go 6-11 in a season where most people were picking you to go 2-15 or 1-16, you look at that and you go, man, we had no talent on defense, and then we lost a bevy of starters and our best defensive player in Buda Baker. And, you know, so it's one of those situations. There's just a lot of things working in their favor if they can win this game. If they lose this game, it's not catastrophic by any means.
It doesn't give them progress.
But it also goes back to the Giants thing. And the Giants playing so poorly after they came back and beat the Arizona Cardinals makes that loss look worse than it probably is overall. And so, you know, it's just one of those situations that we'll figure out what they can do and where they are before this all gets going, because at the end of the day, this is a situation where it's not that important to win the game, but it is important in the sense of this looks like another bad team that's almost on the opposite end of the bad spectrum from the Cardinals, where you're like, oh, we expected them to be bad, but they play hard and they're frisky, versus we expected this team to compete for an AFC championship and they're awful. Like, and so if they lose to the Bengals and the Bengals end up going 4-13, it could be a negative turning point in what has been, even at 1-3, a mostly positive start to the season.
Yeah. Individual matchups. Where are you watching? Where do you think the Cardinals can possibly exploit things? Like I it's really hard to like to match up a running back against individual players. And so it's really hard for me to do that. However, I'm super intrigued, especially, you know, Cam Taylor-Britt, pretty solid cornerback, pretty solid young quarterbacks coming back from a concussion. Chidobe Awuzie, capable cornerback, but popped up on the injury report this week for the Bengals on Thursday. So you're looking at a slightly banged up secondary against Hollywood and Michael Wilson, who have been producing. And Wilson, you know, right now is pacing for a 1,000-yard season thanks to 17 games. He had a breakout game last week. He's had big gains Like, he hasn't had volume receptions yet, other than the last week, but he's getting big plays. I saw a stat on the NFL Network preview video that this might be a game for Zach Ertz, because the Bengals do not cover tight ends particularly well. But I also, like, I have my eyes on Victor Dimakeji, Dennis Gardeck against Jonah Williams, and then you have to stare down Marco Wilson and Ketrell Clark, right?
And to your point, you know, that's a big matchup, but the reality is that's a matchup that the Cardinals are going to lose every time. So the first thing you go is, okay, what's T. Higgins' status?
T. Higgins says he's playing.
Yeah, I know he does. And so with that, you look at it and you go, okay, let's look at how this team looks with, in terms of the overall dynamic, even with Higgins. Higgins played last week and had, I mean, you and I tied him in amount of catches. Like, it wasn't great. And he's phenomenal. I don't want anybody to think I'm talking negatively. I'm just talking reality. Jamar Chase has had one massive game and three games that, again, are just not very Jamar Chase-like or what we expect. I mean, against Tennessee last week, he was okay, 7 for 73. The week before, you know, where they won, he had 12 for 141. But the two games prior to that, he had, you know, 70 yards receiving in two games. Tyler Boyd's kind of been their most consistent after that first game. He's going for, you know, right around 40 yards a game. And then, like I said, Higgins has had one good game. I'm sorry. Higgins was shut out in the opener. He had two catches last week and then two catches against the Rams. I apologize. I undersold him. He had four catches in the last two games for 40 yards. So, I mean, it's just odd, right? Like, this was looked at as the best receiving corps in the NFL. I mean, and I don't think anybody would really debate that.
Nope.
I mean,
you could look at a few. So you could look at Seattle's receivers, but you know, what by adding, it's a, you know, Smith and Jigs and Jigba. That's a rookie, but here you've got three established, productive receivers. T. Higgins, when Jamar Chase was out last year, really, really stepped up. And looked great.
Yeah, and then you look at, you know, and so, again, on paper, the Cardinals just don't match up. I mean, they flat out don't. But the reality has become that they've just been not good. And I don't know how much of it's their fault. I mean, you and I have not sat down and watched every Bengals game. We're just kind of going off of what we have seen in passing, and then obviously what we've talked to people and watched. Their offensive line, like you said earlier, has been catastrophically bad at times. Ted Karras, who's, I think, really old, if I remember right, has been, no, he's not that old. Okay. He's been in the league for 8 years now. He, you know, he's really struggled this year, probably the worst season of his career. I don't know which guard this is. Cordell Volson he's playing left guard, has been legitimately awful, like one of the worst guards in the NFL. He's been terrible. Their big offseason signing, Orlando Brown Jr., has never really been a good pass protector. It's not been his thing. It's why, you know, they got rid of him in KC despite winning two Super Bowls with him as, you know, with one Super Bowl with him as their left tackle after trading a first-round pick for him. So it wasn't like they didn't, you know, invest in him. It's just not what his strength is, but he hasn't been great. And so, like you said, you've got a chance to really dictate things with the pass rush, which will take the pressure off your inexperienced or overmatched corners, which has kind of been the whole situation this year. I mean, you look at the teams they've played, you know, outside of Cleveland, Baltimore secondary is okay. And I mean, they gave up 24, and you mentioned they had a punt return touchdown in that game. Their secondary, you know, Baltimore's secondary is okay. In the third game, they played LA, and again, their secondary's okay. And, you know, they got beat up pretty good by Ja'Marr Chase. That was the statistical best game of Joe Burrow's season. And then last week against the Titans, I mean, their secondary is not anything to write home about. And they held Burrow to one of his worst, you know, performances since week one, but of his career. I mean, and so we're just talking about a situation where the Cardinals have to, this sounds crazy to say, the Cardinals have to force Joe Burrow to beat them. Like, they have to get pressure on Burrow. They have to bring
challenge him to throw the ball downfield, because they haven't done it. They just haven't done it this year.
No, his A dot, which is average depth of target, is like insanely low, like historically low, which is, again, just so absurd for a guy that
he's been a captain check down this year. And whether it's worried about the leg, whether it's just pass protection being bad, receivers not getting open, he's been captain check down, and the way they're getting the ball to Ja'Marr Chase is not down the field. It is getting him the ball quickly and hoping he makes a play with the ball.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at it right now. He has thrown 10 passes of 20 yards or more. 10. On the season, he's thrown 37 passes of 10 yards or more.
Yeesh.
Which,
and he's only completing 57% of them. Right. Of all his passes.
Right. And of those, he's completed 11 of 37.
Ooh.
So, I mean, we're talking less than 33%. Like, this is a guy that he's completing nearly 75% of his passes under 10 yards and less than 33% over 10 yards. And that's just a baffling scenario when you go back and you look at who he has been as a player his first, you know, three seasons after the injury and everything. And you know, so people understand kind of what we're talking about. Josh Dobbs, who, you know, there's literally not a single person on earth that would say that they would take Josh Dobbs over Joe Burrow. Josh Dobbs has thrown 42 passes down the field. He's completed 25, so right around 60%. And that's just, I mean, and he's throwing about 34% of his passes down the field. And so that's what's crazy to look at, because Burrow's throwing 23% of his passes down the field. So, like, this is a guy that has a legitimate alpha wide receiver one in Ja'Marr Chase. He has a matchup nightmare in T. Higgins, who's one of the biggest receivers in the NFL at 6'4", 215 pounds. And then he has a great underneath guy in Tyler Boyd. And he's, like Jess said, he's literally just throwing underneath. He's throwing checkdowns. He's not taking any chances. And if that continues against the Cardinals, that's where they can succeed. On the flip side, you know, it's about finding a way to wear out that defense. For the first time in a while, they're not playing from ahead, right? So they're not able to pin their ears back and go get things. Trey Hendrickson is phenomenal. I think he lines up on PJ's side, which is exciting, right? Like, PJ did a good job against, no, he lines up on the right. Okay. So PJ did a good, you know, a decent job against Nick Bosa. I mean, he's held his own almost all season. In coverage, they don't, I mean, they don't strike any fear in you in coverage. That's one of the things that I'll say, is that you've got a lot of guys that give up a lot of catches for yardage. You give up a lot of, you know, they give up a lot of touchdowns that don't make a lot of plays on the ball. Their biggest playmaker on the ball is Dax Hill, their second year safety, who's struggled. I mean, he's really struggled to replace Jesse Bates. Mike Hilton, their other safety, has been borderline bad. You know, so the Cardinals, ideally looking at it, should have an advantage when they're throwing the ball, if they can protect Dobbs. Their defense, though, I mean, against the run is really, really good. Hubbard, DJ Reader, Jermaine Pratt, all really solid up front guys, especially Reader, Hubbard, and Hendrickson, as I talked about earlier. Like, those guys kind of make it go. So you're going to need an effort at the level that you saw against San Francisco, but being able to continue to utilize the run game, run clock, and kind of put the Bengals in a situation where they're playing catch up, which is, again, insane to say, but like asking Joe Burrow to make plays to win the game.
Right. Coming up next on the Rise Up Series podcast, best of Cardinals talk on the web. Let's make our predictions and look at some of the best prop bets we can get. That's coming up next on Rise Up Series. We're back on the Rise Up Series podcast, best of Cardinals talk on the web. Time for predictions, picks, and prop bets. This is the segment of the show where we talk about what we think will happen. Seth is going to pick the Cardinals to win, but deep down, it believes that the Bengals are going to run away with this one. It's going to be like suddenly the Bengals turn things on. It's going to be 37-14. Is that what's going on in your brain right now?
Yeah, I'm just expecting it to finally finally click for them. Like, it just doesn't make sense. Like, it genuinely doesn't make sense, right?
It doesn't. But taking both teams at face value, not what looking statistically, looking at what we've seen on the field, this is a game the Cardinals should win. The Bengals being favored by 3 points is a very odd spread, but I think it reflects the fact that the betting public doesn't trust either team right now. So to give the Bengals three, you know, to give up 3 points in this game when they've looked so bad, especially on the road, what Cleveland and Tennessee do offensively is basically what the Cardinals try to do offensively without the big time talent at running back. You've got a very good running back in James Conner, but I believe Cincinnati will continue to struggle offensively because the Cardinals, you know, defensively, even though that they've had their issues, they do make teams execute. And Cincinnati does not have the same doesn't give them the same problems that San Francisco did. One, they don't have a Christian McCaffrey. Joe Mixon's kind of like a James Conner type back. And Joe Burrow is not playing in the intermediate throws the way that Brock Purdy is. And so I think this game will be relatively low scoring. I think the Cardinals, I think it'll be a close game. Like a 3-point game until the Cardinals add an extra field goal late and win this one 23-17. For those of you who look at the total, that would be hitting the under this week. I think this is a Washington game, like the week one Washington game, only the Cardinals are better offensively. They're not bad offensively. The Bengals are bad offensively. The Cardinals are respectable offensively this week and pick up a 23-17 win.
Yeah, and I have it 23-20. The Cardinals win. Same type of idea. I just, you know, like I said, I have watched too much Cardinals football in my life to go in confident with this, right? Like, at some point, the other shoe has to drop, doesn't it? Yeah. So we'll see.
Let's just hope it's not this week.
Right.
Let it be against Seattle next week.
Yeah, and so we'll see how that goes. But so, yeah, I have the Cardinals winning 23-20 in a close game. The over-under is at 44 right now, so I have them hitting it, you know, just under the under. So we'll see how it works out, because that's an interesting game all around.
Yeah, and this is a game, like, I picked the Cardinals this week on my weekly three underdog picks for Sportsbook Wire. I hit the Chicago pick that they just beat up the Commanders. I didn't have them winning outright. I had them covering those, so I'm 1-0. And then I've got the Cardinals and the Texans winning outright. I'm not the only one that thinks that. Like, if you look at the NFL preview video, the NFL Network preview video, their panel of 10 guys, I believe it is split 5-5, picking the Cardinals to win. ESPN's Dan Graziano has the Cardinals as his upset pick of the week. I really like this matchup in particular, and as long as Joe Burrow doesn't suddenly become Joe Burrow again, I think what we're going to see is that. And so if you want an interesting spread to take, okay, you're going with the basic spread of you know, the Bengals -3, you go with the Cardinals +3, -110, that's kind of the standard one. I really like, if you want to go for an alternate spread, go for the Cardinals -3 and take a +185. That's a kind of nice sweet spot. You're not going too crazy on there, but that you could get yourself a nice payout there. We had a +185 going to the Cardinals -3.
Yeah, and one of the big ones that I really like this week is going to Josh Dobbs, and he's +154 for over 1.5 touchdowns, so 2 touchdowns on the day. This game, as I said, I think it's going to be a lot of – we're going to see a lot of running, but I think in the situation that they're going to have the opportunity to make some plays with Michael Wilson, Marquise Brown, Zach Ertz, and Trey McBride this week in the passing game in the red zone. So I like that at plus money.
It's not big money. It's just kind of normal stuff, but you know, James Conner over 58.5 rushing yards -120. That's easy money. He's hit over that in 3 of the 4 games. He's averaging 100 yards a game at home, and the Bengals are just giving up a lot of rushing yards, especially on the road. So, you know, James Conner over 58.5, that's easy money. It's -120, so it's bare, like, there's normal risk. That's, you're not going to make big money, but that's an easy win to me.
Yeah, and then when you look at another one that I like heading into this game, I like the way that this I like the way that Michael Wilson's line looks right now. He's at -115. I think it's moved a little bit. Let me double check. Oh no, he's -115 for over 37.5 yards. Yeah. which he's hit every game but his first game as a rookie. So, like, I don't know, man. It seems
I like the Ertz at over 29.5. But none of these you're going to get nice plus money for the rushing totals and the receiving totals. They finally got wise on Prater. They have it, the total for him for the kicking points is 6.5. And
yeah, and I even though I think the Cardinals are going to score, and it's moved since I wrote my article, his field goals made it over 1.5 +114. So I think they're going to have chances to kick field goals because they're going to move the ball effectively. And so we'll see what happens.
Yeah. If you look at the passing, let's look at the yards. I'm not going to touch the Josh Dobbs line of 219. Although with Burrow, doesn't it feel like the under? Except, yeah. It feels like the under, but that's not a bet I want, you know, knowing it's going to come at some point. I'm like, I say the under, but I'm not a confident. I don't like, you know, when you've got a guy that you know is going to happen at some point.
Oh, yeah, and
it's interesting. They don't even have a line on BetMGM for passing attempts for Burrow.
Yeah, let me see if they do here. Pass completions. No, they don't on DraftKings either. So he's also plus 150 to throw an interception, and he's thrown two touchdowns to two interceptions. So.
And yeah, so that's not and the Cardinals have had interceptions in three of their four games. It's been kind of a key thing for what they've been doing. So yeah, I think if we're going to say if the Cardinals are going to win a game this year, if they're going to win this game, that probably comes with at least one turnover and you know, over half an interception, throwing an interception at plus 150 is nice. That's a good one. Longest pass completion. You've got Dobbs at 35 and a half. Do you think he has a pass that goes for 36 yards or more?
That's always a tough one because I don't know how often they're going to try to push the ball down the field against this team because they'll be able to kill them underneath and with running the ball. So are they going to be able to get rack? I think over 35 and a half. I wouldn't touch that one, but yeah, I could see it happening.
Longest rush. Oh, I forget to say, let's see where it, Dobbs. Dobbs. That's another one. Over 21 and a half for Dobbs. Easy money.
Yeah, it feels like it's bad juice. It's all the way up to minus 130 at this point.
Oh, for you know, what we've got over at BetMGM is minus 110. So
yeah, so I'd go fire on BetMGM if you can get that. Connor, 14 and a half. Mixon, 14 and a half. Dobbs, 10 and a half. And again, that's minus 130 on DraftKings. I'd take the Connor one because it's at minus 105. That feels like a good enough juice.
The Cardinals, like he busted a few in the games that he's at home. He's busted one or two long ones.
Yeah, so we'll see how that goes. But I like that. And then looking at Michael Wilson, Marquise Brown, I don't like any of those. 22 and a half for Marquise Brown, 18 and a half for Michael Wilson. 14 and a half for Zach Ertz seems like it would be painful to bet on that.
What about taking the first half money line plus 120?
I mean, that was the first half they've lost, and they were with, you know, they got it close.
Yeah. Anything else that looks good with that? Let me see. 15 touchdowns.
Going back, I would, because it is, like you said, plus money, I would go with the Cardinals plus 120 in the first half.
I like that, too. With that, let's go ahead and end this edition of the Rise of C-Red podcast. The best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. We'll have this posted. You'll hit this on Friday. We will drop on Saturday my show with Solomon Wilcott, former Bengals defensive back. We'll be back on Tuesday talking about the Cardinals hopefully win. And whether it's a win or not, Seth and I will be back next week talking. That's Seth Cox. I'm Jess Root. Thanks for listening as always.
Thanks for listening to the latest edition of the Rise Up C-Red podcast. Listen to previous episodes and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Audioboom, or many other podcast platforms so shows are delivered directly to your mobile device. Please give the show a 5-star rating and always support the sponsors who support the show. We'll be back soon for the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Rise up, Red Sea, be Red Sea Red, and of course, Rise Up, Sea Red.